You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Power After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Power After Show.
Hey. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the first season of Starz original series, Power, Week 5, Episode called I Gotta Go. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is
Erica J. Green,
Robin Ayers,
and I'm Bam Erickson.
And today we have a special guest. Well, the song is so fitting, you guys can hear it in the background. What's been going on Power with the partition is none other than the exquisite Naturi Naughton in the house,
well,
ladies
thank
and gentlemen.
You. What a nice intro. Exquisite.
She's,
I like
she's
that.
Exquisite. You're the bomb.com, and we're glad thank that you're here to go over this episode with us.
Yes.
We wish you here for every episode, every other episode, whenever you can, but we're glad we got you here.
I'm glad to be here.
We're going to talk about a number of things. So let's just to jumpstart and get into this episode, what happened with Ghost and this whole Angela situation, guys? Like,
let's discuss.
She's ready to go.
No, y'all go.
No, you can go ahead and say what you want. That's how we get down in here. So, Bam, Erica, Robin, what do you guys think about this situation, this matriculating situation with Ghost and Angela? You know, jump behind closed doors.
See, y'all weren't really feeling me when I talked about it last episode. That I'm for. I know it's wrong.
No, I want to know.
It's something about the chemistry that Ghost and Angela have that
it's
I'm digging.
History.
But it's history, but that's the thing about it.
No,
it's
they
like
have
it's
great chemistry.
Yeah, it is. It's great chemistry.
They're great actors.
They had great chemistry
also,
tonight.
It's a love story that was just lost. That's what it is for me.
It unfolded more for me today. I saw the love story, but still, the disrespect. I said it while we were watching the show. I was like, really? Can you be more outlandish with it, like in public? Like, let's make out
it's
and have
disrespectful.
Fun. Like, so disrespectful.
Yeah, like you're not afraid that somebody's gonna report back to hello me
right,
your wife,
wife
right.
Your baby
or
mama
something.
Or you have stuff
I
to do.
I am not a baby mama,
house,
by
no,
the way.
Your
I am a wife. I have
Tasha
a ring on
a
my finger. I don't have one on
no,
it now.
The
but in the show, I am a wife. And
exactly.
I
love it. But I'm just saying the disrespect.
No, absolutely.
The level. And your daughter? What if your daughter's all, you know, your daughter's friends?
That's a good point.
I just
mean,
don't.
Yeah,
I don't
that's a very good point.
Tasha's not the average wife, though. I mean, Tasha's a gangster, and Tasha is actually, I mean, keeping it real, you have to like give her respect for being part of the rise of this empire that they've created.
Right.
She's
absolutely.
Obviously a big cornerstone of what has been established with Tommy and Ghost, and it's evident with how she asks questions. She's not just like the nagging wife that wants to know what's going on. It's obviously she has a stake. Like she's actually put in work. Like when he called her and told her to take the thing out. So she already know. And then they have like this code that they speak in code and it's all understood.
At the dinner table.
Right.
Talking in code about cutting up a body.
Right.
And I'm giving him, you know, that's because I'm not just, you know, the wife, like you said, the nagging wife or the one who's like, you know, the damsel in distress kind of wife.
Right.
I know what's up.
Right.
And I'm trying to help my man, my husband, like, we need to make sure we do everything right. We got to stay on it, keep our money tight. I'm, you know, really good at math. My character is really smart. She's savvy. So she has been the cornerstone.
Yep.
And I'm glad that the audience is kind of, you know, regardless of what you feel about Tasha and her background and her, you know, her roots, she might be a little hood at times.
Yeah.
And she definitely does some things that are risque, but she's also very authentic and very ride or die. Like,
that's the word that I used last time. You're definitely a ride or die.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Tasha's character. character.
Speaking of authentic, what is the relationship between Tasha's character and Sean? Is that something she really likes him, or she's just playing around with him to get some information?
By that.
I just want to
know. I love it. Yeah. It's fun. It's really fun to play. You know, our writer, Courtney Kemp Agbo, who's amazing, and she's our showrunner, an African-American woman who has created these complex characters.
Wow. Watch out, Shonda Rhimes.
But Courtney made this relationship between the young driver, Sean, played by Cinqua Walls, and, you know, Tasha, kind of like this very manipulative seduction.
Yeah.
She is, in a way, Courtney and I would talk about, you know, it's like Lady Macbeth, you know. Tasha is playing a lot of different things and people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she's not playing checkers, she's playing chess.
Right.
She knows what pieces she needs to get around to get to her king.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, I think she's intrigued by Sean. Tasha is excited by the attention of Sean. She is having fun in some ways, but she's also trying to get the information that she needs. Keep in mind, Sean is our driver.
See, so that part is new.
Wherever he goes, you know, he probably sees what my husband is doing.
Yeah, but didn't that just start as far as Tasha trying to get some information from Sean? Originally, it was just intriguing, right?
That's interesting. It all depends on how you interpret it.
Okay.
That first scene in the first episode, a lot of people remember, you know, Natasha's like in the back seat doing her thing.
Yeah.
The partition scene with the driver.
Yeah.
It's borderline feeling like she needs the attention, and it's also like planting the seed. Like she's always planning ahead. Keep in mind, she's from the streets. She knows like what's necessary to do. Mm-hmm. So even though it's partially that it was just because she likes him or attention, I think it's a little bit more manipulative.
Okay.
Well, you gotta also remember that when she got in the car, she hit Tommy with the 420 text so they can like smoke out. So she was like, look, I gotta get some information somewhere. I'm not getting anything out of Sean.
Yeah. And she's like pulling from every different area.
Right.
You're on it. You like know the whole I'm mad at you. He's like, oh, attention. She got the 420
text. She's rubbing, got her eyes. Look, she had the yellow and black fingernail polish just clawing on his body. I was like,
you were paying attention.
I was like, he's about to get smoked. He's gonna end up laying in the ditch. I was telling the girls, I was like, I wouldn't even step in that room unless Ghost was in there.
That's funny.
She gonna get him killed. Anyway. So with the Ghost situation, he is not just, well, Sean, I mean, Sean is not just the average driver because he's Kanan's son.
Right.
So,
50 Cent.
Right.
Yeah. Plays
so
Kanan.
I'm hoping to see that develop. I have some interesting predictions, which we'll do at the end of the segment.
Yeah, I want to hear what y'all think.
About how that's all going to play out and whatever, because obviously they're keeping Kanan's character. He just got a new suit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I guess Ghost Taylor hooked him up, got a new suit.
Yeah.
So he's planning to go, he's going to see his dad, like, in a week or something like that?
He saw his dad already, but he's going
He's going
back
to see him again, and he's going to wear that suit when he goes to see his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So some things are happening.
Yeah.
They're planting seeds.
Good. Little seeds.
Right?
That's
so I'm like, okay, something's about to crack off.
Yeah.
And then Tasha knows she knows how to work the scenario. I'm just, you know, I like how she doesn't get all like worked up about the shoes and the bags, you know, when her homegirl comes over, her Ace Boom, played by Lala. Lala?
That's Lakeisha. She's like my best friend, played by Lala.
Yeah.
Lala Anthony.
Yeah, Lala Anthony.
She's great.
And she's not really overwhelmed or not, you know, she loves the lavish life,
but
at the same time, it's like something's bothering her. Something's bugging her.
It's
but
more to it than that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I did like was how Tommy said, you know, Ghost is always on some next shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is true.
They keep mentioning
And he has to think.
He's always thinking about the next.
Right.
Like the next thing he should do.
And that's the struggle that Tommy and Tasha are having, trying to figure out whether they should trust him. Because as far as they're concerned, they hit the mother load. Uh-huh. They're living the life.
Right.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
You were really locked in. You were locked in.
I mean, so if we're where we're supposed to be, then where else
are
we supposed to go
exactly.
from here?
And if he's thinking next, does that mean I get left? Like when somebody's thinking, you know, when some people, you know, they kind of don't want to let you go or don't want you to go too far up the ladder because then they're afraid that then what happens when you get big time? Am I not going to be needed? Do you not want me anymore? You know, all those things are fears. And it's not necessarily a good thing, but these are realistic fears of people when they love you and they're used to the old you, they're not able to adjust to the new you.
Right.
All right.
Two questions. When you talked about the savings,
yes.
Something that was brought up when you were, when you grabbed the money, when you were in the stash, when you were in the safe.
Oh, yes.
When you were in the safe and you were getting.
Oh, got it. Taking the tank top, the shirt out, but
you also grabbed a lot of money, and I think I predicted that a woman of your character would probably take some of that money and stash some things for herself, because you remember your mom, played by Debbie Morgan, said
you can't get alimony on money the government don't know about. Because he's a drug dealer. We got a lot of money, but it's under the table. And so all the money that Ghost and Tasha have is pretty much like, you know,
safe
hidden
deposit boxes and all,
you know,
that.
And we're funneling it through laundromats and the club. Everything is kind of a business to cover our real business. But that's a very interesting, that actually, do you want me to tell you, that moment is not about that, because it's the very first episode. She just sees the money and they're going shopping. Tasha is a little spoiled. Keep in mind, she's spoiled. She's used to, so she's just like, oh, let me take a stack because I'm about to go to, you know, wherever and go shopping in Manhattan and just buy me a new purse. She's also spoiled. She's also used to having the good life. So in that moment, it's not even about putting money aside, because she's been together with him. At that point, she has no inclination of anything going on. She feels like, hey, I'm his partner. I'm a ride for him.
Yeah.
So why would she put money aside if she feels like we're tight? But once you start feeling like something ain't tight, you start kind of planning other things.
Right.
But that's a really good prediction.
Because if you also look at how they went to the bank that they go to every month.
Oh,
they do their monthly. They do their monthly
draw.
Meeting with the
yeah.
I guess the bankers or
the
whoever.
Bankers.
So they keep that big chest of money with other important whatever is in it. That obviously was the stash, right?
Yeah.
That you guys kept the side to first.
We keep a lot of stash
for security.
Yeah, we keep a lot of stacks
right.
of stash. But when something's missing,
like something was missing.
Tasha knows, because
right.
she knows what they put in there. Because, like I said, she's the mathematician. There's a little joke. He's like, I was on the math team. Ghost tells Tasha, weren't you on the math team? Tasha is like really good at counting money, which is why she's part of the business. So she may not have been on the streets like actually hustling with them, but when the money came in, she knew exactly how to put it. And,
yeah.
you know, she's very
she's
savvy.
An intricate part.
Yeah, which actually makes her a character that I enjoy playing, because she's not just like, you know, this ratchet wife that's like about that life.
Right, right.
You know, I'm just saying she has a business side of her and a business sensibility. And I think that's what makes Tasha even more, I think, dangerous. Because someone who's kind of negligent or not as intelligent might just be on for the ride. But when a woman is down for you, knows what's going on, and is giving you good advice, and is smart enough to know how to play the game, ooh, she can be very dangerous on both ends.
So that makes me wonder if Tasha's going to start her own thing on the side, too. You know,
like what thing?
Do you, like, have your own type of business venture. So you could start being seen as maybe more of an equal to Ghost, and that's fade off. You know, I'm interested to watch that relationship to see what she's gonna do more to get more attention. Instead of just with the Sean family,
yeah, most definitely. Yeah. What disturbs me about their relationship is the lack of communication
between Ghost and Tasha.
Yeah, they've tried, and it's like they just keep missing each other.
Right.
It's like when Tasha said she was talking to Tommy, and she was like, "It's not the club. The club is a symptom. It's not the problem.
Not the disease.
It's not the disease."
That's
right.
One of my favorite lines.
Yeah, it was a great line.
That scene. And
I love that scene.
And you're like,
written by Randy Huggins, a great writer, a black guy who's so cool, down to earth. I actually met with all the writers. I just have to shout out the Power Writers team, including Courtney Kemp Ogbo. But Randy Huggins wrote this episode, and I love that there's a scene, you know, where we're smoking a blunt, me and Tommy having a brother sister moment, and just talking junk, venting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what's funny, they had to show me how to do it right. I was like, I'm not as an expert. I was like, wait,
as you might think,
am I hitting
noticed
this?
That.
Did, oh, you noticed?
I
was
did.
That I'm not? Was I not as good?
No.
You did a good job to me.
I was making it gangster, but okay, that's funny. You noticed. I was like, okay.
I was like,
let me hit this. Because I'm a singer. I don't smoke. I mean, I don't really, right. Smoke any. And I've always been very careful about my voice.
Yeah.
But I was trying to, it's funny, when we shot that episode directed by George Tillman Jr., who directed me in Notorious.
Notorious.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a reunion for me because I had my director for my first film. He's amazing. And George was just like, you better, smoke that. Get gangster. Right. Like, right. And he brought out the side of me that reminded me that Tasha, although she's sophisticated and classy and has got the clothes, she still would take it straight to Queens, straight to
That's exactly what I was just telling them. I said, that's my favorite scene. That's the time where I saw you get a little bit more just, it was real.
Real.
It was real. And I loved it. It was clear to me. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, Robin did say that. She said that was her favorite scene. Yay. Because it was like, you took it from the penthouse. She's like, let me text this.
Yeah.
420, and he was like, "I haven't got this text in long." He's like, "Look," he was like, "Look, look, right? We need to have this conversation."
Even doper about that, what I loved about it was that even when Tasha was leaving the house, she was like, "I gotta go get some milk." Like, you know what I'm saying? Not like I have to tell you the truth. I'll be right back or whatever. Exactly. It was just like, you know how to play it, just go. Like he does.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I don't think that the communication between Tasha and Ghost. Mm-hmm. It's clear. I've always said that although he does say that he's trying to go forward, I don't feel like Ghost character is explaining to you or getting into your head that, listen, this is where we're trying to go. Wow. If we go and do truth, then we can now eventually fade the drug scenes, this whole lifestyle away.
Yeah.
And then we could become millionaires through the professional way.
I
don't feel like he's getting it to your head enough to make you understand his plan. He kind of hints at it and then he gets annoyed and then he walks off and now there's this tension between you two. And I feel like if he would just, I don't know, maybe
Thank
shake you,
if
you and
he would just fight for me.
Yeah.
And make sure he expresses himself. No, I'm just joking. No, this is interesting. But it's so funny. Some people feel like he's done or his character in his mind, and we talk, me and Omari Hardwick, who plays Ghost, and he's such an amazing, co-star to work with, because we talk about our characters and work together, and he's like such a supportive energy on set, and he's like, I think Ghost is pleading with you. He feels like, and maybe some other viewers may feel like, Ghost is trying to tell you, he's pleading with you to come to the other side, the legit side. And Tasha is just not, she's not that kind of thinker. She's very much like, we got it. We did what we had to do. Life is good. Let's keep it up. So it's interesting that you say that. Maybe some people might feel like he could communicate it differently or, I don't know, but that's really interesting.
I think we had this debate last time. I think him being so half, I'm not going to say ass, but half at it, like putting you in the dark with the whole situation with his side piece and stuff, and having you think like, okay, there's something else going on. Maybe it just doesn't feel like he's wholeheartedly trying to make the situation work.
Because there's other layers there with this other woman.
Yeah, so why would your character even believe like, okay, well, you really are trying to look out for us, when it just seems like he's trying to get his on the side and look out for him? That's in my head, I was like, I don't feel like he's really trying to really make this work. When we were talking about that last episode too, I was just like, no,
I have moments. I mean, even as Tasha, I feel I'm with you, girl.
That's the part of Ghost character that I don't like is the going back. Everything else I can appreciate about what he wants to do. He wants to legitimize his business. Mm-hmm. He loves his children.
Yes.
He seems like he loves his wife.
He loves his wife very much. Yeah.
And it just seems like he's giving up too easily. And he has a preconceived notion based on what he feels like where he wants to go based on. It's like, look, you would have never gotten this far with Angela doing. Mm. You wouldn't have gotten.
No.
Nowhere right. with Angela.
Yeah. Right.
So why go back to a high school?
Jail, because she would have arrested you.
Right. Exactly.
She's a fed.
Exactly.
You don't even know. You're over here running after. No, let me stop. I get emotional because I'm like really connected to these characters, but that's what makes it so compelling for me to watch, because even in my emotions, I'm like, but dang, he's in love with the enemy. And then like, but she doesn't even know who he is. And I'm over here, fighting for my family and my husband, but I'm the one who has the information and I know the secrets of all of our, illegal activities. So it's funny. That's what I think, even though it's frustrating and I get frustrated that Ghost is like really not, like you said, fighting to keep this together or giving up too easily.
Because
at the end of the day, we got years together. We got kids.
You got kids.
You know,
family.
And it's kind of like, come on now, hold on.
Right.
But, see, but then again, maybe that, you know, people do make very foolish decisions.
It happens in real life all the time. Just
every
like
day,
that.
It's just hard to watch.
Right. It is hard to watch. So now you're watching it on an hour program and you're seeing it happen
like,
really quick in front
it.
Of your life. You're like, dude, what are you doing?
It seems like to me the biggest point of contention or maybe even separation came when Angela came into the picture. So I almost wonder if in Ghost's mind he feels like this like the legitimate life that he wants to go, Angela has it. She has that life. So maybe the
she represents that life.
She represents that in almost what he could do with her. But he has his ride or die, the one who he built this empire
with. But she represents, Tasha represents the former life, the street
life. Right.
And like you said, which you guys are really like on top of it, is Angela represents the new, legit, possibly more real, good life. Like the good, legit life.
Yeah.
But it was weeks before she found... Like he didn't even reveal that he was married or his background information. Mm-hmm. So how could he feel like his relationship with Angela is this good, perfect life, the legitimate life, when he kept secrets from her? Like there was no know what was going on.
Well, keeping secrets doesn't mean you don't want a good life with the person. That means you don't want to lose them.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing when it comes to that, as far as relationship is concerned. If you notice how the writing was, they were trapped in a bubble every time that they were together.
Exactly.
Whenever Angela and Ghost, it was like they're reliving these old feelings and nothing else existed until, I don't know, what happened like two episodes ago. Mm-hmm. And then reality struck, right?
Exactly.
And they had to come to terms with what their situation is. Remember, she wasn't telling him and being clean with him either about her boyfriend. He just, of course, has more on the line because he's married with children.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
she
was in a relationship
and didn't tell him.
Right, or whatever you want to call
that. The playing field was very level as far as secrets.
Right.
Because there's secrets all about happening. I mean, and but that's also very real and authentic. So I don't think that that discredits his desire to see a future with her. It just makes him afraid to tell her the truth, the same way she was afraid to tell him the truth, because Ghost and Angela know that they're living in this bubble. And the truth is, once the truth comes out, are we able to still live in this bubble? And that's when stuff gets complicated. You don't know if you're going to continue to enjoy the moment when the realness starts to hit you. Like, dang, I got real stuff that I have to deal with. So I think...
he better keep laying it right.
Speaking of realness...
If he keeps laying it right, he'll be okay.
You know what? Fresh. Fresh.
So we can like we're gonna probably come back to Ghosts, but how do you feel about Holly and Tommy's relationship?
Oh my gosh, so I love
really get it from you from the episode, like how do I feel about Holly?
Well, it's funny, I think you didn't get
the character. Well exactly,
she's also Tasha is observing, so it's not a solid choice yet,
okay,
because I don't know her. But if I don't know somebody, I don't automatically trust you. I'm kind of skeptical. Mm. Something about her feels a little,
a little off.
But you know what's funny? Your street character comes out because she got up from the table. Holly got up from the table and Tasha was like, just to the side, like.
I gave her a look.
That, like, that once over, somebody like somebody from the street would do.
Oh, absolutely. Because I don't know this chick.
Coming up in my house.
At my house. I don't really know what she could do.
Right.
But I'm trying to be nice for my boy, for Tommy.
Yeah.
Played by Joe Sikora, who I love. Joseph Sikora is so good in this show.
Yeah, he's talented.
And he is just doing such an amazing job. He makes it fun just to watch his psycho, crazy, fun, you know, but, and he's such a great guy. Like, we actually all bonded. Like, you know, all of us, especially out of the core of the show, have really had a chance to become like a power family. It's so honest and so makes the show, I think, more exciting to watch because I'm watching my friends do their thing, and Joe is doing great. And him and Holly, played by Lucy, she does a great job as well. I think the relationship is interesting. I'm a little nervous for Tommy's character because I've never seen him like this. And I, like I said in the show, it's like, wait a minute, you bringing girls home? You trying to like wife a chick? I know something's serious about that, but I know that you got to be careful whenever you fall in love. That's when people get hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm like a big little sister, big sister in a way. Like, in a way, I'm trying to make sure he's good. I want to protect him at the end of the day.
Question for you in regards to that scene, because when you guys were, when Holly and Tasha's character was in the closet,
yeah,
when you were watching her from a kind of perspective, infatuated. Because she was infatuated with all the Louis and all this other things, and so there was this disposition that you were looking at her, where you were like, okay, I don't really trust this chick. So there was already a disposition.
And
so,
what's her goal?
Yeah, and what's her goal? And so with that being said, when you when she excused herself to go to the restroom, I was wondering, in your mind, was you thinking, okay, this bitch about to go steal something? Or what was in your character's mind as she got up and you kind of gave her that look? Did you think
it was that, you know, the chick's about to go steal anything, because that would have just kind of anticipated. But it was, I don't know what I feel about you. That's what that look was. I was looking at her walk to the bathroom, and you know, someone leaves the room, it's just like, I'm not mad at you, but I don't know what I feel about you.
Yeah.
And that's scarier.
Right.
It's a more female thing. We
like that. Yeah. And it's like, hi, okay, yeah, no, you can go on down to the bathroom.
Yeah. And then that
I like
last
your shoes.
Look.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So there was
still
watching you though. I'm still watching you. That's right. That's kind of what that was about. I didn't anticipate her stealing something.
Yeah.
That would be like on some psychic type stuff. Like, yeah, she about to take my earrings. They on the left side of the closet. I know. But I think she has a feeling that something about her just doesn't settle with her spirit. And Tasha, part of being in the game is being able to sense things. Like, she's very perceptive. That's why she's able to mess with Sean the way she knows that he's a weak. I mean, she knows that he'll be weak. She knows that if I'm going to pick a target, like, you know, if you're somebody who's in that world and you're good at it, I'm going to pick a target that I know I can really work over.
And that's why Tommy asked you in the first place. He said, I'm going to bring her over because I trust your opinion about it. That's exactly why.
Tasha is very solid about her opinions. And when she makes an opinion, she's pretty, I think most of the time, accurate, actually. She's perceptive and she pays attention to human behavior. That's why, you know, like I said, she plays and like, I think I can do this with you. And this. She's just a hot mess. I love the way the scene is shot, speaking of the Sean thing, where she's like, you know, kind of going around his body, and the way we did that, and George was like, and even Courtney was there, like, make sure you stroke his ass and go up his shoulder and down his back and make sure. And I was like, it was so uncomfortable. And I was asking Sinqua, who plays Sean, I was like, are you okay? Because I had to kind of go to the pant area.
That's funny.
I was like, okay, so this is how we're going to do it. And it's so funny. People think it's so, like, exciting. It's not. It's very technical. I'm like,
choreographed.
Yes. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to touch your,
I'm gonna touch your
abs. I'm going to go to your chest, and I'm going to come, is this okay? And then a little bit on, you know, here, and then make it down to in between your legs, but I'll hit your thigh so it looks like so I'm like, kind of touching him, and it's very interesting.
And he's singing like a
his
bird.
His face, though, I'm says like, it all. But he's in character, but his face is also
make
saying
her work for it,
no,
though.
That was real.
He's a boy. He ain't a man.
And he's adorable, and I'm worried that he's just going to get killed so early in the game.
Why do y'all think he's
going
to get killed, though?
No, I don't even want to talk about that. That's them.
I just be saying that. He's trying to get that boy killed. No, he's not going to get killed.
He's not going to get killed.
I'm concerned about just the game but he's playing.
You need to be concerned about what I'm going to do to him. Don't be worried about who's going to kill him.
Have y'all slept together?
Who?
You and Sean.
In the show?
Yeah.
No.
We would have seen
it. Okay,
you would
have all alluding to. Okay, so I'll just. Let's, no, yeah. I've been thinking personally.
Oh.
What show are you watching?
I was like, where'd you go?
So
with that?
I
just close out on it.
I want to jump back. I want to jump back real quick to the Holly and Tommy. Because Joseph brings such a level of intensity to that character. It's like it screams at you through the screen.
It does.
And you don't know what this guy's going to do. Sometimes you feel like he can reach to the screen and grab you by the neck. And
yeah.
On the camera. Like
choke you.
Right. Like you feel like that.
I do.
I think also, you know, Tasha has been the single female component to this
world,
family, this dynamic of what's going on. And then having another female that I think that can kind of be, I don't want to say threatening to Tasha. I don't want to say it the wrong way. Like, it's not threatening to her as an individual, but
I know what you mean.
Threatening as
like
her role,
chick coming
right?
Because I'm usually
and
it's the like, only chick.
And he's Tommy's, and he's Ghost's partner. And how is that going to affect how Tom? You already see when they're in the elevator,
right?
And she's like, yeah, I saw such and such. I saw Ghost with a Latina getting blah, blah, blah. And Tommy, he's angry. Yeah. And it just goes to show you, like, his composition, his emotional composition is starting to change just from being with this girl that he likes. You can see it, like, start to morph. Right.
And it's dangerous.
It is.
Because he doesn't even know what to do with all those emotions. Right. Because he's starting to really like her. Mm-hmm. And now he's starting to kind of like need her in his life. There's a dependency. There's a excitement about it. She's excited by the fighting and his hardcore. She's like different. And I think Joe is capturing all of what Tommy brings, because he's also disappointed when he hears that. He's like, what are you talking about? And then, you know, punches the wall. Because I think...
he knows what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. And he already tried to warn Ghost. I mean, it's so many layers.
Right. That's
to,
the thing.
To it. And Ghost is like almost like, in a way, I think a hero to all of us. And mm-hmm. he's like a father figure or big brother. Because when you see, and then he's slipping, it's like, oh, what the hell are we going to do now? So I think he just played all the emotions of that moment. And, you know, and liking Holly is definitely adding another layer of, you know, fear. And that's what all, I think, characters are going through with this show. I'm so happy because Power does a good job of making us all fighting for something that's hard. Like, we're all fighting for power. We don't know how to get it. We're trying to get love. We're trying to get... So when you're fighting for something, you have something to hold on to. It makes it a lot more interesting to play as opposed to, like, life is good. I'm living good. I got the power. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about how do we all maintain this spot. And Power, I think, is an appropriate name because I have the slot of being his wife, his ride or die, his partner. I could start dwindling from that spot.
Yeah.
Ghost is his partner in crime, his brother, his ace, you know, and he's feeling like he's dwindling. And Ghost himself feels like he's losing the club, the people trying to shut him down, you know. His dreams could be dwindling, that he's always aspired to do something better than what he has been doing. So I think everybody is in a position where they have to fight for, you know, the life that they want to have. And it's not always easy. So
I just thought about something that's just so deep.
Go.
I can't even say it yet, though, because it's part of my prediction.
Okay,
I
save it for the prediction.
Okay, yeah, I want to hear predictions.
Yeah, so, we'll talk about predictions at the end.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, just it is the fight for power. Just having love, money, and whatever else is going on, that leverage all equals power.
Money,
so
sex, power,
the whole nine. It's funny how one phone call almost got Kantos face bashed in at the office because this guy Simon Stern, who's like very this big in club nightlife investor, he's like the man out there, and Ghost is, you know, looking to make this happen. That's part of the major vision,
right?
And of course Tasha and Tommy are not on that vision, so they're not gonna she's not gonna respect those. Like it was funny, we talked about how
did y'all
when
see
Kantos,
how I hit the phone.
Right, yeah. Right.
Everybody was tweeting me like, girl, you sneaky. But that's some like what a female would do. Like,
right, right.
Not tonight.
I was like, I know, that was actually crazy.
I don't know. It's just how they're going to get Tommy on board, get Tasha on board. Because it's just a dead end street. You know, as far as I'm concerned, with the whole Angela situation is a dead end street.
You think Ghost going after Angela is a dead end
street? Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I just have that, but don't go back. Don't go back. What you going back for? You're supposed to go forward.
Part of it is that the writing is so great because
But people do it all the time. So it's really realistic.
And going back is not always a bad thing if it's the right thing. Going back could be also you going forward because you grew from what you came from. Like, growth is important. So going back is not necessarily going back. It's just reevaluating what you had. And I'm not an advocate of the situation. I just think there can be both sides that you can look at. It's like, why would you go back? She was high school, blah, blah. But sometimes life goes in a cycle and people come back around because they're purposeful in our lives. Mm-hmm. And you never know what that purpose is. So you kind of have to weigh both sides of what that could be.
But see, that's kind of why I was saying that it's just interesting how they pull you in with the writing because... Yeah. You mentioned it earlier, whenever the scene is with Ghost and Angela, it's like a bubble and it's like a fantasy and it's a feel good. It feels good to the viewer. Yeah. So although we might be all pro, you know, Ghost and Tasha, it's something about that connection.
We
and the
all
want to
escape.
Write.
We all want to feel like we have that one moment where you're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking right. about...
Not even 5 minutes I got, from now.
Yeah. Not even. Yeah. But if it's with that person and you're escaping and allowing yourself to just feel like, gosh, I'm in this bubble with you, but as long as I'm in this bubble and enjoying this moment, even if it only lasts for a day, yeah. it's still beautiful. And that's the beauty of the right, like you said, because moments like that really happen. It's yeah. real life. You can't escape being like infatuated or feeling fantasy, because that's part of what we do as human beings. And the characters have to have those moments, or else we would always be realists. And that's not really exciting to watch. If we're like, oh no, I can't do this because I got to get back to my normal life. I mean, no, like I have a lot of voices. They come out.
Yeah, that was somebody.
I tell you, I'm an actress. So I'm just saying, normal life is always going to be there when it's all over. But why not enjoy the now? And sometimes yeah. the now is a fantasy, and it's okay.
Yeah,
they do. You know, speaking of escaping, this yeah. girl in the pink shoes just keeps seeming to get
pink,
away.
Pink like,
sneakers. Pink
yes.
sneakers. She keeps getting no. away. She keeps escaping, and she is knocking people
nobody
off.
Nobody expects her. She's right. like coming in as a stripper and stabbing folks.
Right.
Was this the same girl?
Or she was it hair like straight? The same girl
no,
me.
It's the same girl.
So
that's
she,
the indicator. Okay. The shoes
yeah.
are the
yeah,
shoes.
Yeah, everything yeah. about that character, even on our call sheet, it's called Pink Sneakers. So when we first saw the script, like when you're reading lines, her line, Pink Sneakers, mm-hmm. Pink Sneakers, mm-hmm. it's a character.
Right.
Her okay. name is Pink Sneakers as of now.
Right.
But Pink Sneakers is the same person. She's the same girl, played by Leslie Lopez. And it's so interesting because you don't really see her, mm-hmm. but that's yeah. the illusion. And that's what's so dope. You know her by, okay, the when sneakers. Them sneakers come, you better watch your back.
But we saw her in this last episode.
Yes. So, you're yeah, starting sorry. To see her, but I'm saying you don't really ever really know
is
her.
That a
it's
reason?
Not really about that. But it's more about that the pink sneakers.
She
like,
is
you know,
she, the, she's representative of like that thief in the night that yeah. comes and
right.
yeah.
like, you know, you can't expect like a gust of wind to knock you down. And she comes in very, you know, surreptitiously and just does what she does. And it's
ooh,
very
surreptitiously.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm
going to add that to my vocabulary.
This is actually,
I was a straight A student. FYI. You know, so, I'm such a cornball. Actually,
this was actually the first episode where they actually showed us that it was a female.
Oh, really?
Or that, well, actually, I'm sorry, not mm-hmm. us. Or they've shown the rest of the everybody else because they're trying to figure out who's doing these hits. And I doubt anybody thought
hired,
or think
though.
About it was a female.
But
now they know it's a female.
Well, they know
that's
that
doing
she's...
It.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, they always know it's a female that was carrying out the hits, but that doesn't mean that she's...
Did they know it was a girl that was
they
carrying...
Did, actually,
they did. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
From the very first episode.
Okay.
But... You know, as the show progresses, they're without giving anything away. But yeah, it's just so many people behind these things. It's not just one aspect to the
it's
hit.
Layers.
It's right. layers.
But Ruiz is still alive.
He is still
he
alive.
Lived.
That is yeah, that's a, yeah. a big
y'all are
right
like
there.
He is still alive. Yeah.
And that's only because he was in the champagne room. That's why he lived.
What?
Blood was going. His
oh
metabolism was worked up, and he
what
was able to survive the
you?
Stabbings.
I'm going to kick you. I'm going to take my shoe off and just be like, ah.
Not true.
Hey, I'm just saying.
I see where your
got,
head is at.
She got him good. Anybody else would be dead. She stabbed him right in the neck like
four times.
Like four
was,
times.
I know. But then that's what happens, though. I mean, look at our executive producer, 50 Cent, was, you know, shot
yeah.
many times.
Right.
And so just go to show you stuff like that in our show is also reflective of real life.
Right.
And
that's true.
50 Cent being our producer and part of the show, not saying that that was written to emulate that or mimic that, but a lot of experiences that 50 would share, different things, real life happens on this screen, which I think is dope. People can get stabbed or shot 9 times and live.
Right.
And be shot, and it's supposed to hit your head, but sometimes it goes through your mouth and you just gotta, you know, survive, but then you wind up being a mega mogul rap, you know. So
right.
it just shows you, like, anything in this world is possible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
anything can happen, and when people try to stab you, people may be trying to stomp you, people may be trying to kill you, and that is more also just a theme in a way, and it's inspiring in a way. I mean, I don't know why I'm making it so deep.
I get it.
But I'm just saying,
right.
all of that can serve to a point of like how you can outlook on in life.
But does she allow him to stay alive? I was wondering, because she's a trained assassin. Mm. Don't they know to go back to make sure whoever they're
she
hit
can't go
target?
Back.
But she couldn't go
well,
back.
Well, I'm saying they make yeah. sure that the person is dead upon
she
leaving.
Still
did she
could.
Do that for a reason? I'm
well, I think it was probably because Nomar mm-hmm. got to him and they were able to get him to the hospital and
yeah.
save him. And mm-hmm. otherwise, he would have bled out and died.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so, you know, ultimately, she's good now at her job. He just got lucky.
Right. What's your take?
I mean, really lucky.
What's your take on the Jamaican aspects, because they were introduced into this episode? Mm-hmm. What are you guys' thoughts?
I thought they were going to go in and do the hip, but now they got off scot clean.
I was kind of disappointed connect. That I didn't get to
see. Yeah, that would have been a nice scene shooting it up. But
Jamaicans.
I mean, now to me, I was just thinking in my head, was like, oh, now Ghost and them are off. They're no way connected to it. I mean, unless people saw them coming in there. But mm-hmm. other than that, I'm interested to see what is the person who's like kind of helps the Angela out.
No more.
Yeah, no more.
Greg, oh, yeah, no more. See her CI.
Her CI. Like now he's close in there. That's gonna have to unfold some type of way. He was there. He's close to her now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows his connection with.
Oh, this is all
Angela. I'm sure it's about to unfold in these mm-hmm. coming up episodes. I know you can't give a lot away, but I'm interested to see how this is gonna unfold now.
Yeah,
like, with Nomar and Angela
being more
very
in there
interesting,
and,
guys. It's gonna be very interesting.
What she said.
What was your take with the Jamaicans?
Well, no, I said episode six because I'm about singing in mm-hmm. episode six, mm-hmm. and there's like a great moment in the club, and I'm just excited about that episode. It's called "Who Are You?" And that episode for Tasha and many characters is kind of figuring out who you are now and not who you were. So that's what's called "Who Are You?" And I think there's gonna be a lot of discovery. A lot of things will start to illuminate. And things will get clearer. It's going to be good. I think every episode is really good, but it's getting exciting for me as a fan. And I'm in the show. And I'm at home. I don't care. I mean, sometimes my friends are like, "Oh, come over. We have viewing parties or people watch it." But
that's cute.
This episode, I was like, I don't need anybody. I'm right here at my house. I watched it by myself. Watched it two times back to back. Had my popcorn because I love popcorn. Kettle corn, butter popcorn. And I curl up on my couch.
She
and
like had a moment there. For
really, I know, because I'm actually like, I could use some popcorn. And all of that. We should do that. We should have like a popcorn watch power. And I
we're totally down.
Well, like all we got popcorn like here. A little hangout session. And sweats and popcorn. But yeah, so I think it's that exciting. And that just lets me know. I'm a fan. When I read the first script, when I got the part, before I got the part, actually, I was a fan of the show, and I was genuinely excited to be a part of something this, you know, this exciting and titillating and just making me, you know, feel something visceral, and I think that's exciting to watch.
Well, go ahead.
The last thing I want to say about Tasha, before we start talking more about Naturi, is I love the fact that she got her daughter that role.
Oh, right. Do you?
I love
Ghost
that.
Ghost is mad at me.
Ghost can be mad all he wants to be mad.
That's funny.
That's a good parent, mother, and she's playing the game because that's exactly what they do.
Some people completely disagree. They're like,
people do that all the time.
You're trying to fight the system, but I have to.
When you see people's names on buildings, what do you think they're going buying? I'm gonna donate so much money so their kids
donate money. And my little girl, and keep in mind, it's in a very good school. It's private school. She's one of the few black girls in the school. And I love that we explore just, you know, the fact that I have the power and the money. I mean, it may be a little under the table, but she's like, look, would you like a donation? Without even saying it, you see it in Tasha's eyes. And George did a great job just directing that scene because it's all about, you know, what the eyes are saying. And she's fighting for her daughter to have a better, you know, life in a way, or at least feel like she's reaching her dreams, because Tasha had a dream of being a singer as well.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was pretty funny how they
Destiny's Child. Everybody was talking.
Now, was that added onto the script just because you were a part of a group, or
that was written? The writer wrote it. I mean, he knows that I'm the role. Mm-hmm. Randy Huggins wrote that episode, and when I read the script, I was like, "Are y'all trying to play me?" Because I was in 3LW. Y'all trying to make a joke, and then you didn't say 3LW, so you're trying to use Destiny's Child like that's really going to cover it up. I felt like that was about me, but I thought it was funny. I'm a good sport. I don't really get sensitive about something like that. But when the line was said, my character was actually like kind of, you know, hurt by that, mm-hmm. because her dreams of being whatever, even if it wasn't Destiny's Child, he's like trying to come at me like, oh, just because you got kicked out of Destiny's Child, oh, you trying to, really? Is that how you going to talk to me? So I think at the end of the day, Tasha's feelings are hurt because she's reminded of her failed aspirations and her failures. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why she's fighting for Raina, her daughter, because when you fail as the parent or you didn't get to have that moment, mm-hmm. at least you can inject some of those dreams into your future, which is your children.
Right. Yeah, that actually shocked me a little bit how Ghost was like, that he was mad at Tasha for that.
But did you see, Tasha was a little surprised too. Yeah. Because I was like, who are you?
Exactly, because it's like, this is what we do. Not like that.
This is how we get down.
Yeah, this is what...
A team.
How we've done this, how mm-hmm. we've gotten here, you know what I'm saying? But what I love about Tasha is that, I agree with you, that is like, I think any mother who's in that position to do that would have, but it also shows a little bit more into your character as far as like, that's just who you are. Like, right. you make things happen.
And it's also might be a little bit of the edge street side. Like, we go around the rules sometimes.
Yeah.
We do whatever it takes. And that's who we were. And so to me, I'm like, wait a minute. Why aren't you trying to
who are do you
whatever
now?
It takes?
And not only do exactly. people from the street cut corners, but rich people do as well. Because obviously, the parent who you were
Spencer, Susie Spencer, the little white girl that they gave it to, Susie Spencer.
Yeah.
That's a line. Don't nobody feel like I'm attacking the little white girls in the world. Nothing against them. I'm just saying, Susie Spencer is a little white girl in the school whose mother and grandmother and generations have been donating, so somehow they get the privilege of certain perks. So don't get it twisted.
Right.
My little girl can get them perks, too.
Well, the thing I like about that is that actually showed me that it really wasn't even about being street, per se. That is just playing the game, that you could actually play it on that level as well.
That's
something that Ghost can't see because he's not there. Like, I think he would have been more impressed by her if he would have actually had been at that meeting with her, with the school, and let her handle the meeting and see how she handled it. And then he'd be like, wait a minute. Because you remember, you're dealing with a whole other world now.
It's
an elite private school.
It's a very different world.
So, but you handled it with class, and
I wasn't definitely in there yelling.
Even when you were talking with the mom, definitely classy. But you don't think how... even the way that it was directed, like you said, how she saw, that's something that somebody from the streets would do.
Right.
It definitely is about money and stuff, but how the camera went to the fundraising and then panned over to the little model, that's something that somebody from the streets would recognize.
Right.
Like, okay, I got you. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Right. That didn't even have to be said. It's like, I'm paying attention.
Exactly.
I know what you need. And it's like a hustler's mentality. I know you have a need. I'm going to fill that need to get what I want.
Yeah.
You ain't got to tell me that I see you got, okay, you low on money for this little playground.
Right.
All right, $250 stacks.
Yeah, little playground.
little playground you're trying to build over here. Let me go ahead and give you some money. So that's funny.
Yeah.
Bam, I know you had something. Go ahead.
Well, before we go into the interview, just want to let you guys know, for iTunes, make sure that you guys comment, rate, subscribe, and tell all your friends about iTunes. We have a lot of great shows here at AfterBuzz TV, and it helps, support our AfterBuzz studios. So make sure you guys, again, go to iTunes, download, rate, comment, and subscribe. So now we want to talk about you and your body of work.
Okay.
Well, first of all, when it comes to the whole power thing, what was the casting process like?
It was hard. Mm-hmm. And it was just long.
Mm-hmm.
The casting process for Power was tedious. It was worth it. It was long. It took months. I went through a process of going in front of Courtney Kimpagbo, David Noller, our producer, and Vicky Thomas, the casting director.
Wow.
Just amazing.
She's amazing, yeah.
Love her. I was a nervous wreck. I remember going in like, oh my gosh, because I know part of the thing with me is I read a little young. I've always looked young. I'm a petite woman. I'm small, and I used to feel insecure about that. But I was like, you know what? I love this role. I love that I can bring myself to it and hope that they see something in me. Fortunately, they did, but I didn't know that. I had to wait, for maybe a month and a half or something until the callback process started.
Yeah.
Which made me think they had moved on, because they were like, there was, talk about my age or if I would match up with, Omari well, which actually we look great together. We're actually in the Essence issue this past month, and, as the power couple in the Essence.
Oh,
it's
wow.
a great little article of us in there. But the point is, I then came back in a month and a half later because they searched, I guess, for some different kinds of, or maybe more mature actresses, and came back to me, and I went in and then went in again and did a Anthony Hemingway, who directed our first episode, amazing director, absolutely loved working with him. He you know, did a like a testing process, like a, you know, chemistry test, right, basically. So me, Omari, Anthony Hemingway went and practiced and then went in front of the whole Stars studio and everyone and the entire team. So I went through about three tests, like, you know, two testing, wow, and then one regular audition. And then I got the part. So it took about a total of like 3 months.
And so with you, your past with singing, mm-hmm, were some of those things incorporated once you were casted to do some of the singing, the improv?
Actually, I think so. One of the first things when I got the part, Courtney called me and was like, congratulations. She said, girl, you know, I know everything about you. I've watched you from 3LW, Mature, and I'm going to have you singing in episode 6. She told me that day one. Mm-hmm. And I said, really? Like, you know, this role was never originally, you know, written when I was auditioning. It wasn't a prerequisite to have to sing or have any musical background. But what was dope is that we have a musical kind of executive producer. We have an aspect of the show in the club. The music that we have in the show is so well placed, yeah, and really, really, you know, I think just innovative in a way because it's just cool. So they added an element to Tasha that has a musical aspect, and allowed me to incorporate a little bit of Naturi by having me sing in episode 6. So I thought that was really exciting. And
speaking
cool
of 3LW, do you remember this?
Oh, Lord. Oh, my gosh. You're just whipping out the throwback. Of course I remember that. Yes.
Oh, wow.
So this is a video.
Oh, yes.
3LW live on Sunset.
Wow. You look so young.
Yeah.
I know. Wow. So crazy.
With having such a successful career.
Oh, gosh, that's funny.
I had it, so I wanted to bring
it. No, whip it out.
And so with you being a part of a very successful group with 3LW,
yeah,
how are you? Do you miss recording? Will we see you?
I love music. Mm-hmm. Music is my first love. After 3LW, you know, it was a trying experience. Mm-hmm. So I took a break from the music industry, went on to do Broadway. I did Hairspray for 3 years, had the best experience, worked with Tevin Campbell, Darlene Love.
Wow.
It was amazing. It taught me so much more about what I can do, mm-hmm, not just as a part of this group as 3LW, what I can do as Naturi Naughton. So what's funny is that you asked that because I'm actually in the studio, mm-hmm, right now as we speak, and I'm really excited working with some amazing people and just getting back in the studio and creating something that's exciting and new and fresh and very me right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing and recording, and I think the fans will be very happy because there is an EP coming very soon. So look out for
exciting.
Yeah. Look out for the music. It's coming back.
And I know some people are going to wonder, so I just have to ask.
Of course.
Will there be any reunion?
Who is wondering that?
I'm just, you know, the fan.
After 15 years, if you expect me to jump on a stage with that.
I just had to ask. Okay.
That's not ever going to happen. Ever, ever, ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Ever, ever again.
That is all the way
I'm
real.
I'm just keeping it all the way real. Now, that's Naturi. That's a little bit of Tasha that comes
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's funny.
No, I mean, it was a, you know how like certain parts of our life, and that's not to disrespect, I'm grateful for that part of my life. I'm very grateful for being in a group that sold a platinum album. I can't believe that was me at 15. I was taking that picture. I was 15 years old. I left high school, and I was touring the world, and that's surreal. But certain parts of life are left as capsules. Why go back, right? That's where that applies. Right. Why go back?
Right.
Never, never. Right. Never, ever. So certain things are just like, that's a blessing, and I'm grateful. It was hard. It was challenging, but it was also made me a stronger person and made me a better woman and made me be more full as a human being. So I'm good. I don't need to go back. I'm going forward.
I know that you are a singer, songwriter with 3LW. Mm-hmm. So I know that you have a comfort in your own voice and everything like that.
Yeah.
But is there anything discomforting about working on your own project solo?
That's so funny. That's exactly what I'm dealing with right now.
Wow.
You know, it's so funny. So funny. So I was in the studio like maybe 2 days ago or something. And I am not used to singing in my lower register. I'm a soprano, naturally. And I like to be given my Mariah Carey, Whitney, you know, whatever.
I heard it.
Like, you know, just I'm always trying to sing. Because I grew up singing in church. I started at New Hope Baptist Church in East Orange, New Jersey. And that's my home base. You know, the church and gospel and music and sang. And, but this process has been really amazing, and it's helped me to kind of push myself outside of my comfort zone, vocally, writing wise. And I might as well just shout out the people I'm working, Ryan Toby, who was in a group called City High. And we're actually writing, and a producer, Logic, who's been a friend of mine for 10 years now, who is extremely talented. And so, you know, we've just been in the process. But Ryan, because he's a singer and is also in the music world and has been in a group before, he knows that we get caught up in our little pocket of comfort, and he's really pushing me to sing in my lower register, to sing in a little bit without making it so singy, and it's just actually making me a better artist, and I'm really excited.
Really quickly, you have a TV movie that's coming out in 2015 called Let the Church Say Amen. It's directed by it's called Let the Church Say Amen.
Okay.
And it's directed by Regina King, the actress from 227.
Oh wow, you went back.
Boys
Oh, wait a minute. I was like, the actress from
I was building up 227,
Poetic
Justice.
Oh, you were starting at the very beginning.
Enemy of the State,
Boys
in the Hood. Poetic Justice, this woman has been in so much and been an inspiration to me. So working with Regina, she's become in my heart, like, you know, a big sister, and she has really embraced me. I saw her just the other week, and we've just become, you know, we just talk about everything. I'm grateful that I got the pleasure to work with her and the entire team. Lila Rashan plays my mom from Waiting to Exhale. So many other films, but I'm very, and Jose Chanchez from The Game plays my brother, Steve Harris, who was in Diary of a Mad Black Woman, and Collins Penny, who I actually did Fame with, is also starring in it. So Let the Church Say Amen comes out on BET. It'll be in the upcoming year, in the spring, and I can't wait for people to see that either. It's a totally different role than Tasha, though. Don't expect Tasha. She's an Atlanta, a little bit of a ratchet young girl who, you know, is going through some family drama, but it's a very great film, and I'm excited about it.
Okay. Well, and season two for Power.
Yes. We got picked up for season two.
Yes.
Congrats.
Yes.
We got a job. I'm going to be going back to New York. I'm very excited. We'll be shooting in New York City, in Brooklyn, you know, Manhattan, but our main studios are in Brooklyn, and we're shooting starting mid-September. So it's on and popping. If y'all think you're getting exciting. It now,
I'm
you're about
it.
To really get it.
Right.
Season two.
So, I can't wait to season two. Before we move to predictions, I just want to say that we're happy and glad and grateful that you came.
Thank you.
And
very much so.
Sat with
Thank
us.
You guys for having
it was
me.
Great. And I just want to put all of Hollywood on notice right here, right now, that this young lady is remarkably talented.
Thank you.
And this is gonna be kind of funny, but when I saw Notorious, I was like, who is that playing Lil Kim? Like, what?
Out of nowhere.
When I had to go check the credits, then I'm like, okay, you gotta watch out for this one right here.
Thank you.
Definitely have the it factor to go to the next, to take it all the way to the next level. Like, I want to see you on the big screen. Buy a ticket.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would buy a ticket.
Thank you.
Most definitely.
And it's going to happen, too.
Yeah.
I received that.
Yes.
And that means a lot that people, you know, who've watched that journey, even from before Notorious, to doing Lil' Kim, from 3LW to Lottery Ticket to whatever, and now Power. It's surreal, and I feel really blessed to have people like you even say that to me, or the fans. I was just recently in New Orleans, and people for Essence Festival, I can't tell you how many people were connected, like, that's a girl from Power, I'm so proud of you, and they're really genuinely, you know, invested in my journey, and that makes me feel really proud, so thank you.
Well, you have the range, you
thank
know.
You do.
Just like the voice.
I'm trying to stretch.
Just like the voice.
I'm trying to stretch.
I don't know, next thing you know, you can be battling between the acting roles and the...
I know,
the
right?
And being in the studio,
being
recording.
In the studio, I'm like, I gotta get this, just gotta do my song, gotta get this movie real quick.
Yeah.
But that's the life. I want to do it all, so
right.
I receive that.
Right,
but also,
we're happy for you.
I did want to mention that you are so articulate and
thank
just
you.
Bright, and you know, it's refreshing for me to see you and talk to you in real life, because wow, all we really see are these characters and behind the
and
music
you see
and everything.
Me acting crazy.
Yeah, so this is great. So I just want to say you're such a pleasure and very articulate.
Thank you. Yeah. That's really important.
Yeah. That's how you know the girl got range.
Yeah, exactly.
She got range.
I am nothing like, and people are like, wow, you're not like this hardcore Little Kim. When Little Kim came out, they was like, oh, you see this side. It's
right.
Like, what?
Right, exactly.
And then it's like, oh, it's so good to meet you. Don't worry.
The way that you
I mean, yeah, I don't even back. I get back. She comes in you know, every once in a while, but then I just step back into Naturi zone. But that's the joy of being an actress. I don't get to stretch this way, you know, in my normal life. My friends are like, Naturi's just like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of goofy and fun, I like game nights, I do regular stuff. But then when I get a chance to do a role like Tasha on Power, it's like, ooh, I get a chance to be something very, very complex and crazy and daring. It's fun.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about, let's go into predictions really quickly.
Okay.
And this is the part you can't include you in, obviously, since you know
everything. Wait, oh, I can't be in it. Right, yeah. I just want to listen. Okay, y'all go.
So, episode 6, Erica, go.
My prediction is that Holly's going to push Tommy over, and he's going to be kind of spinning out of control as the show progresses. I do predict he's going to kind of derail a little bit with Holly.
Okay. Well, Robin.
Oh, straight to me. So what I was thinking earlier was that it's interesting, the little seeds that are going on right now. I can't necessarily say for episode 6, but at some point, it almost seems as though Tommy is going to try to build what Ghost has with Tasha with Holly in the illegitimate side. It seems like that way. Maybe there's some, he's trying to get Sean. Remember, he tried to put Sean on and tried to get Sean to go and like kill Ruiz.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he might be like taking this sort of it. I don't know. It might be a little crazy, okay, but I'm just saying it might end up there.
I don't have a prediction, but I'm watching your disposition as she's.
No, I do the same. Child, I'm an actress. Don't let that deter you. I'm responding to everything y'all say. Go.
Oh, I don't have a prediction.
You don't have a prediction?
Well, because when I watched it online, it didn't show what next week's predictions was.
You can still have a prediction based on what's been going on.
I mean,
all right, forget you.
Yeah.
Well, my prediction is this. My prediction is this. Hello. Okay. My prediction is this: is that Kanan is going to manipulate Sean to come back and to take the rightful place of the heir of the king of all the empire of everything. Like he alluded to him driving for his, like, Ghost was like his little like flunky type of thing. He alluded to it. So I think that's gonna stir up some. He's already wearing a suit. He was wearing tennis shoes. Now he's wearing a suit.
Y'all crazy.
So that's what my prediction
y'all
is.
Y'all should come to New York and hang out on set, because you guys are like,
we would love
y'all to ask me
y'all
twice.
After Buzz should just come and kick it with Power, because y'all understand this.
Yep.
So where can we find you, Naturi Naughton? Until
find
next
me
time.
On Twitter at Naturi Naughton. It's my name, NaturiNaughton. Or on Instagram at Naturi for real. That's a 4, Naturi for real. Hit me up. Check me out and continue watching the show.
Where can we find the rest of you guys?
Robin Ayers at Robin AYERS.
At Bam Erickson.
At Erica J. Green.
At Club Thaddeus and GQJedi.com.
You guys
Until
are kind of awesome.
Next time. Thank you.
Like, I'm just going to give you all a seriously, a round of applause. I haven't felt this was the most fun I've had in a while.
That's what's up.
No, I
had That's how we do it. That's why you guys don't give us 5 stars. This is how we do it.
Thank
Until
you, guys.
Until next time, After Buzz.
From
peace.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire After Buzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the After Buzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.